My guest today, Alice Hoffman, has published 21 novels, including one of my all-time favorite books, The Ice Queen. Alice was born in New York, got her BA at Adelphi University, then received a fellowship to Stanford University Creative Writing Center, where she received an MA. She currently lives in Boston. Hoffman's first novel, Property Of, was written at the age of 21 while at Stanford. Since that remarkable beginning, Alice Hoffman has become one of our most distinguished novelists. Her novel, Here on Earth, an Oprah Book Club choice, was a modern reworking of some of the themes of Emily Bronte's masterpiece, Wuthering Heights. Practical Magic was made into a film starring Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. Alice has also worked as a screenwriter and is the author of the original screenplay Independence Day, a film starring Kathleen Quinlan and Diane Wiest. Her short fiction and nonfiction have appeared in the New York Times, the Boston Globe Magazine, the LA Times, Architectural Digest, and the Harvard Review, just to list a few. Hoffman has been at work on The Dove Keepers, which Toni Morrison calls a major contribution to 21st century literature, for the past 5 years. The story of the survivors of Masada is considered by many to be her masterpiece. Welcome, Alice. Thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Masada, 72 AD. What led you to write this story?
I went to visit Masada. I never expected to write about it, but I was really moved when I went up there in a way that I didn't expect to be. And then when I went home, I started reading Josephus, who's the only historian of the time, and I read that there had been survivors. And as soon as I read that, I knew that there was a novel I wanted to write.
You visited the site, and I'm assuming you spent a fair amount of time there. What were your experiences there? What did you feel?
Well, the first time I went, no one else was there. So it was a very hot August morning. It was about 105 degrees, and I guess no one else wanted to be there at that moment, and I was there with my family. And it was such an intense experience to be there in the silence. Because of that silence, I felt like I could hear the voices of the past.
That's amazing. It is a very magical place. The book is filled with so much detail, elements of daily life, the herbs used for medicine, social hierarchies, warriors. How did you do all the research?
You know, I really don't know, because there was so much I didn't know. And when I realized how much research there was to be done, I think somebody else might have quit. But I just kept going on, and I just decided I could research for the rest of my life. But instead, I decided I just needed to know what my four women knew. I didn't need to know everything about the history, and I just, you know, basically did the best I could. But it was difficult finding out about domestic life. That was the biggest challenge.
So how much time did you spend researching before you actually put pen to paper?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it was a couple of months of researching, and then I realized I was getting really mired down in the research, and I'm not a historian, I'm not an academic, and I needed to start really writing. And then I would go back and forth and layer on more and more research. And then I was a visiting scholar at Brandeis University, so that was very helpful to have their libraries.
Oh, well, so many of us have visited Masada, but few realized there were any survivors. When you came across that story, I mean, you were just immediately move to build your book around it?
Absolutely. I'm very interested in survivors. I'm always amazed how people are able to survive such intense sorrow and tragedy, and it's always such a miracle to me how people manage to do that. So I think for me it was kind of a study of how people could rise above all of this agony and sorrow and still be compassionate, kind human beings.
The book is the intertwining stories of four extraordinary women, Yael, Revka, Aziza, and Shira, each of whom came to Masada by a different path. How did you decide on their stories?
Here's the funny thing. They really decided on their own stories. When I read that two women and five children were survivors, but my story is in the voice of four women, so I wasn't quite sure which women would die and which would live. And that, for me, was part of the interest for me as a writer in writing the book. But I was definitely mistaken about who would live and who would die. Mm-hmm. They began to write their own stories and make their own fates.
Well, of course, this is ancient history, but yet you've made it so relevant to today. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, I wanted it to feel very modern, and I think they do feel like modern women, and I feel like this could be happening right now in a war-torn country, that there are always women who have to survive and who have to protect their children. And I do feel that, you know, they feel like our sisters when you read the book.
I think it's quite amazing that Masada is seen as a victory. What about this event has made it stand out as a beacon of courage rather than something very different?
Well, you know, Masada is a very complicated place, and there is the sense that, you know, the people who died rather than become enslaved by the Romans are heroes, and they are. But there also is the sense of the continuation of our people and the continuation of children's lives. And I think that those women were also heroes. So I think, you know, they're both heroic acts, and it just really, one doesn't cancel out the other.
Mm-hmm. Yael is, you start the book with Yael's story. She's so strong, yet kind of because of circumstances and her father and so on, very distant. How have your readers been reacting to her?
It's interesting because I personally didn't like her when I started to write about her, and I didn't know if I could write about a character I didn't like. But as I got to know her and understand her, my feelings about her completely changed. I mean, she's very, I think, more than any other character I've ever written, morally, she's very complicated. She does some terrible, horrible things. And yet, I think you still feel compassion for her. And in a way, I grew to love her.
She's strong, and I like her too. I mean, I guess what I liked about her so much is her survival, her surviving. When you write a book and you've had some made into movies and screenplays and so on, and then many have been audio titles, how do other people performing your work and their interpretations, how do you feel about, I mean, how does that strike you?
Well, you know, usually when I finish a book, I'm finished with a book. So even though I've seen the films that were made of my books, and I haven't really listened very much. I've listened a little to the audio tapes, and I think they're fantastic. And the one for The Dove Keepers is really brilliant with four incredible actresses. But I usually don't listen to it because I really hear it in my own head the way I originally heard it when I wrote it.
Have you ever been in a situation where someone was interpreting your work and it was like, what are they doing?
Well, I think that happens when you deal with Hollywood. You know, you kind of give it up to other people to imagine, and then it becomes theirs and you're kind of sharing it with them.
You are getting such amazing press for this, from this book. Is it also been released in Hebrew, and what have the reactions been in Israel?
Well, it hasn't been released in Hebrew, so I don't know about the reactions in Israel other than my own family. And they've been really positive. And I feel like the Israelis that I know who have read it feel that I got the place. And that's really important to me, that they would feel that, you know, I described it the way that they sense it and the way they see it.
What do you want your readers to take away from this book?
You know, it's interesting because I want them to take away from it whatever they need to take away from it. But I realized after I finished the book that the book is about war, but it's also very much about forgiveness. And I'm hoping that it's kind of a lesson in forgiveness, not just for my readers, but also for me, because I think it's a very important lesson for all of us.
Yeah. Well, you're on a very exhausting book tour right now, so are you already working on your next project, or are you just kind of getting through this?
Well, I am. I'm working on a novel, and I have ideas for several other novels, but I tend not to talk about it because I have had the experience of finding, you know, half a novel in a you know, closet somewhere that I just, you know, I decided it wasn't working and I just abandoned it. So I'm always afraid that it won't work, and I can't really talk about it till it's done.
You've written 21 novels and countless short stories and other pieces. Sometimes when you're writing one of your works, do you feel that it's going to soar a little higher than the others? The Dove Keepers is getting such amazing reviews. Talk about that.
Well, I've never felt the same way that I feel about The Dove Keepers. I mean, for me, it's 40 years of practice led to my being able to write The Dove Keepers. And in a strange way, it feels like the most autobiographical of my books, even though it has nothing to do with my actual day-to-day life. Emotionally, it feels like it's the closest to me and kind of a map of my soul in a way. So I feel very, very close to this book. And for me, it's a very special book and very different.
Alice, this is one amazing book. I have many friends who are voracious readers, and either they're reading it now or they're begging to be number two on the book loan. So congratulations. And I have to say, you're one of my favorite authors, and I can't wait for your next piece.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.